What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. I stayed up watching the Charlotte City Council meeting, pulling audio clips and the like, so you didn't have to. You're welcome. I'm a giver. But then, of course, the jury deliberated for like a second, and they came back with their guilty verdicts against Hunter Biden, the famous painter, the artist. And so I think we should probably start there, given his stature, the high-profile nature of the famous artist Hunter Biden. John Ekdahl, right? He's a conservative writer. He's been in a bunch of different publications. And I thought this was a very insightful response to the guilty verdicts that came down. Three guilty on all three gun charges for Hunter Biden. He says, have any bad things ever happened the last time a country teetering on a sovereign debt collapse jailed a painter? I doubt he's going to get jail time. Right. So Hunter Biden, the son of the president, the first ever prosecution of the son of a president, found guilty on all three charges. All charges in the criminal case focused on his purchase of a firearm in 2018. FoxNews.com reporting. Biden faced a trial this month that lasted more than a week and included emotional testimony from members of his family, including daughter Naomi Biden, his ex-wife Kathleen Buell, and his sister-in-law turned girlfriend Haley Biden. Prosecutors worked to prove that Hunter Biden lied on a federal firearm form known as ATF Form 4040. Sorry, I always keep saying that 4040. 4473. 4473. In October 2018, when he checked off the box, no, that asked him whether or not he was an unlawful user of a firearm or addicted to controlled substances. Biden purchased the gun from a store called StarQuest Shooters and Survival Supply in Wilmington. He faced charges of making a false statement in the purchase of a gun, making a false statement related to information required to be kept by a federally licensed gun dealer, and possession of a gun by a person who is an unlawful user or addicted to a controlled substance. So those were the three charges. False statement, making the false statement on the form that the federal gun dealer has to keep, and possession of a prohibited or possession by a prohibited owner because he was addicted to a controlled substance. Hunter Biden has a well-documented history of drug abuse, which was most notably documented by him in his book, narrated by him, which was used in the trial, which is kind of like having him testify because it's his voice reading his own words. This was his memoir. He did not take the stand in his own defense. But in the book, he walks the reader through his previous need to smoke crack cocaine every 20 minutes, how his addiction was so prolific that he referred to himself as a crack daddy to the drug dealers. And he shared anecdotes revolving around drug deals, such as a Washington, D.C. crack dealer that Biden nicknamed Bicycles. I think that was one of the code words also for coke or crack. He would call it bicycles, maybe. He also talked about in that book how his superpower was to be able to find crack no matter where he went, which I'm not really sure that's a superpower for him alone, but it's actually not even a superpower. But also I suggested the other day, and I do believe that this is possible, that he was so compromised by foreign governments that knew of his addiction that they could just make sure they had somebody with crack in his vicinity at all times to take advantage of whatever opportunities might arise, you know, like multi-million dollar business deals with energy companies, stuff like that, right? Here's some crack, Hunter, sign this document here. And yeah, stuff like that. You never know. His defense team was led by attorney Abby Lowell, and it did not dispute Hunter Biden's long history with substance abuse, which also includes an addiction to alcohol. Instead, they argued, which was a bold strategy, didn't work out, that on the day he purchased the Cobra Colt 38 revolver, he did not consider himself an active drug addict because he had just done a stint in rehab. And that's what they teach you in rehab, is that after you get out of rehab, you are no longer an addict. That's my understanding of rehab, right? Like you can kick the addiction, and that means then, you know, you can dabble afterwards. Have a little coke here, a little crack there, right? Because you're no longer an addict. That was quite the defense that they attempted. Now, the reason why the jury took so little time coming back with its verdict was because he was guilty. He was so guilty, like obviously so guilty. There's no other evidence. Like, think about that. That was the best defense that they could mount. The absolute best defense was that he wasn't smoking the crack pipe while he checked the box at the gun shop, right? He wasn't like, all right, let me check that box right there. There we go. I'm not using drugs. Like, that's how much evidence there was to convict him. Now, that being said, he's convicted of a firearms charge. And as Greg Price describes it, this is the ultimate red herring of red herrings. He is a communications guy for the SFC network. I'm pulling it up to see what this is. The State Freedom Caucus. Greg Price, comms guy, State Freedom Caucus. He says the DOJ allowed the statute of limitations to expire on his most serious tax charges. Right? Never forget, the reason why we saw this conviction today is because the DOJ slow-walked the charges and investigation on the worst of the tax charges, right? He still has some tax charges pending out in California. That's going to be the next step. But it's not going to be, I think it's from the years 2015 and 2016. It's not going to be those years, which was the most egregious violations of the IRS tax code. He wasn't paying taxes on millions of dollars that were pouring into his bank account. So, you know, always keep that in mind as Joe Biden talks about everybody paying their fair share, you know, except his son, oh, and his brother, oh, and his extended family that was all involved in the Biden crime family operations. Oh, and including Joe Biden. Oh, by the way, Joe Biden, you know what he's got on the docket today? He's going to speak in front of Everytown USA. No, I mean, not like every single city in America. It's an organization called Everytown. And it's an anti-gun group. An anti-gun group that wants the very kinds of laws that Hunter Biden just got convicted of breaking. But we're going to listen to Joe Biden take the stage today and talk about all of the new gun laws that got to get passed, right, in order to keep people who are prohibited owners from getting guns, right? I do wonder, how do you think Saturday Night Live won't parody this, right? Oh my gosh, that's going to be hilarious, right? The parodies that they're not going to do because it's Joe Biden, they would be hilarious. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? All right, so Hunter Biden, the... Hunter Biden, the son of the president, noted artist, was found guilty on all three charges, gun-related charges. These were all connected to his purchase of the firearm back in 2018 while he was addicted to drugs and alcohol. Fox News reporting prosecutors argued that Hunter Biden's addiction to crack cocaine occurred both before, during, and after the purchase of the handgun. Just one day after the gun purchase, actually, prosecutors showed the court that Hunter Biden texted Halle Biden that he was, quote, waiting for a dealer named Mookie the day after he bought the gun. And a day after that text, 2 days after he bought the gun, he texted that he was, quote, sleeping on a car smoking crack on 4th Street and Rodney. That is located in Wilmington. So that definitely undercut the defense's argument that he did not consider himself to be an addict, having just left rehab and then the day after buying the gun, purchasing more crack and smoking all of the crack over a 48-hour period. So, yeah, I'm not really sure that, well, I know the jury did not buy that, as well they should not. Now, I mentioned Greg Price. He is the comms guy for the State Freedom Caucus Network, and he says that this is the ultimate red herring of red herrings. The DOJ allowed the statute of limitations to expire on his most serious tax charges. They buried evidence of the Biden's foreign bribery allegations and attempted to give Hunter Biden a sweetheart deal with broad immunity. David Weiss, the U.S. attorney that was appointed to this case, would not go after Hunter on the serious tax charges or on the FARA, which is the Foreign Agent Registration Act. If you are working on behalf of a foreign government, you're supposed to register as a representative of that foreign government. And he never did. And that's a violation. But they never went after him for that because all of that would lead back to the shady business dealings involving his dad. Instead, they went after him on the much lesser charge, the gun charge, where the evidence was way too insurmountable to ignore. So now they can scream, nobody's above the law, when they put President Trump in jail. That's Greg Price's analysis. Along the same lines, Sean Davis, one of the founders of thefederalist.com, he says Hunter Biden should be on trial for money laundering, tax evasion for his Burisma bribes, illegal influence peddling, and operating as an unregistered foreign agent of corrupt foreign governments. But he's not, because a corrupt prosecutor refused to charge him for anything related to the Biden crime family syndicate. And another conservative writer named Sonny Wright says, quick reminder that Joe Biden's Justice Department had to be stopped from allowing Hunter to plead to a misdemeanor in exchange for immunity on all felonies, including felonies with which he wasn't even charged. Got a couple of emails here. Let me read through. This is from Denny. Pete, I would love to hear your comments on the ramifications of Hunter Biden getting a light sentence. It seems like all kinds of political peril lurks here. Also, might we refer to the traffic guy as Dave the Delay Hewitt? Yeah, I don't know. We'll run it past him. Dave the Delay. I'm going to write it down. I'll probably forget, though, at some point. Dave the Delay. Okay. He's filling in for Pam the Jam Warner. So, what did he ask me here? The light sentence. So, as I understand it, the sentencing is going to be in about 4 months, roughly. That's sort of the normal timeline after a conviction at the federal court. The judge, Norica, I think is her name, she sets like 120 days window. So let's see. So this is June. So it's July, August, September, October. Oh, all right. Well, that won't impact the election at all. I don't know if he's going to get really any kind of severe punishment. And I don't know what if there are any statutory minimums that he's got to do. I don't believe so. My bet is they're going to say he's, you know, clean and sober now. He's turned his life around. He's not on drugs anymore. And so he did all of the right things. And he'll throw himself on the mercy of the court and acknowledge that, you know, he did the thing. Now that he's been convicted, now he'll acknowledge that, yes, I did this thing and I'm really very sorry. And I think the judge also is going to recognize the impact of a verdict that's too severe on the election, right? Because if the judge, you know, drops the hammer on him, then I could see that as being a motivation for people to go out and support Joe Biden. Now, I've also seen, look, you're not going to get me to make any kind of prediction on the sentencing. I have no idea. I've seen legal scholars talking about this, lawyers and stuff, and they're saying he's probably not going to get any time. He'll probably get, you know, probation. I could very well see that happening. He may get a minimal sentence. I doubt he'll get, I mean, I think some of it was like some of the charges, if you rack them all up, it's like 20 years or something. Is that really believable? I would be very, very surprised, right? I would be very surprised. Now, maybe the judge not thrilled with the way this is all unfolded, because it was, after all, her courtroom, and she was overseeing the plea agreement that came before her. And when she asked a couple of basic questions about the arrangements in the plea agreement, where you get immunity, Hunter gets immunity for all felonies and any future charged felony, like, it's a get out of jail free card. And she's like, what is this? Have you ever done anything like this before? And they're like, yeah, well, no, actually we haven't. And the whole thing falls apart. And then he goes from agreeing to the plea deal and pleading guilty to the gun charge for no time and immunity for all sorts of more serious stuff that could come down the pike. Now he says, no, I'm not going to plead guilty. Now I'm pleading not guilty. And then you go to trial and he gets, of course, just waxed in the trial. What happens in the tax case out in California? Don't know, right? Like, he could get convicted on that too. And now if he's got the gun stuff on his record and he's on probation for that, does that come in the California case? I don't know. I mean, like, a lot of this stuff is just, you know, anybody that tells you they know what's going to happen, I always say, ask them for the winning lottery numbers, because you don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Now, people can speculate what might happen, sure. And then what if they're wrong? Well, they pay no penalty for that. There's no price to be paid for speculating about what might happen and then being wrong about what might happen. And on the off chance that you're like, I think he's going to get probation for 17 months, house arrest for 42 hours or whatever. Like, they get real specific. And what if they nail it? They're like, told you. And then what? What's the payoff there? To me, I always ask myself this question. Is the juice worth the squeeze? Right? Is the juice worth the squeeze? If I were to come out and say, I think Hunter Biden is going to be convicted in like 67 seconds worth of deliberations and convicted on all three charges, and he's going to get probation and that's it, and I'm right, what do I get for that? What's the juice? I get to say I was right. Oh, I called it. Okay. You guessed it. You just guessed. I just guessed. So what do I get out of that? Nothing. That's no juice. Is that worth the squeeze? No, because it's way more likely I'm going to be wrong. I mean, have you heard me? Way more likely I'm going to be wrong. So I just don't even bother trying to predict the outcomes on this stuff because it's just like I will just wait and see how it develops. Now, I can kind of think through different scenarios, what might happen here, what might happen there. But I have found over the years of doing this that people get kind of frustrated with me when I run through all of the different scenarios of what could happen. People would like me to tell them what's going to happen. And I got news for you. I don't know. Nobody does. Nobody does. And I know people take comfort in thinking that somebody with the inside track that they're going to make this prediction and they're going to be right about this. They could be right, sure, but they don't know. And I prefer to know things rather than speculate them. I know I'm down a rabbit hole here. I apologize. But so I don't know what's going to happen with the sentencing. I could definitely see where he skates, basically, where he gets probation and that's that. Does Joe Biden pardon him? I think it is way less likely that that occurs if there is a very light sentence. And I think maybe that's what Biden was communicating to the judge, essentially when he was asked by a reporter whether or not he would pardon his son, and he said no. And so I think that that sends the message that we're going to let you do what you do. Don't screw it up. Because I suspect if the judge did drop the hammer on him, then yes, I think Joe Biden would absolutely pardon his son looking at a 20-year stint. Absolutely. And I know he said he wouldn't, but he could. I absolutely believe that he could do that. See, I'm not saying he's definitely going to do it. I'm saying I believe he could do that. Dang it, I made a prediction. See how hard it is? All right, Danny asked me, what are the political ramifications of a light sentence for Hunter Biden? I feel like I went through the ramifications of a light sentence. And I think that's probably more likely. However, a tougher sentence, I have seen people speculate that could be what Joe Biden uses to drop out. Joe Biden could use the turmoil of his son, right, to, after the Democrat convention, to then say, I'm getting out, spend more time with the family, right? Going to focus on the family, but not like the religious right organization, but a different kind. Like he's going to be there for Hunter. He's going to be a good dad and all of that stuff. And it just so happens it comes at a time where Joe Biden, well, I mean, he might not be on his A game.
She knew so long as she was denied, our freedom can never be secured.
One more time. No, it doesn't get any better. I still don't know what he's saying. This was him at the Juneteenth event, and then there was the video that you probably have seen. If you haven't, I urge you to go find it, where he's at this musical performance, and everybody's kind of like jamming along, you know, got the shoulder thing, the hip swaying thing, clapping along and stuff like that. And Joe Biden is standing there, arms at his side, but not at his side like in a relaxed, comfortable way, but in that kind of like where he's got the, like when you just stand, if you're just standing normally, right, your hands just kind of hang to your side, right? The palms face kind of your against your legs. He does this thing, you've probably seen it, where his arms are in like a forward kind of position and his palms face backwards, like behind him. So he's got his hands kind of turned and he just stands there and he's got this grin on his face and his eyes are just spaced out and he's not moving a muscle. He's not moving at all while everyone else is jamming along, you know, to the hot beats being laid down at the event. And so maybe it's possible that this is the off-ramp, right? I know a lot of people are speculating about this. A lot of people inside the Democrat Party would very much like Joe Biden to exit stage wherever he wanders off to. It doesn't matter. Just get off the stage. And then you get all of like the palace intrigue and the machinations going on. Like, well, because you know there are contingency plans. I've said this many times over the last, you know, 2 years or so. You know there are contingency plans if he can't make it to Election Day or make it through a second term. I don't see how he makes it through a second term. At the rate of decline, I was watching a video the other day from just 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and the decline has been sharp. It has been pronounced, right? So that's possible that they use this as an opportunity to get him off the stage. John says they will drag out sentencing and then China Joe will pardon the crackhead the day after the election. Hunter is never going to prison on this or any of the other charges. Right. If it's a short prison stint, he might. Like if they gave him 6 months or something, he might send him over to Club Fed. He might do that. Right. No one's above the law kind of a thing. But if it's a long stretch, I do think Joe Biden might very well consider doing the pardon after he wins re-election. Yeah, that's possible. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening and don't break anything while I'm gone.